Hello and welcome to Perception Check. We are here doing some more backstory stuff with...
Garrel
Embersole. I'm going to say what I always say. I'm not here to write your story for you. I'm taking details that you have given me and crafting a story, adding in some things to hopefully surprise you so it seems new to you since you are living it out at this time.
Right.
Are you excited?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I've been ready for this for a while.
Okay. Cool. So we are starting you way back in our opening scene.
Back in time.
You're going to be very young, but we'll kind of get to that. All right. So. Here we go. Garrel?
Hey. No. It's me, Garrel.
Now, you know this voice very well.
Okay.
Kind of catches you a bit off guard, so your response is solid. And you hear it again. Garrel, oh, Garrel, get out of there, you noisy boy. This is your mother.
Okay.
It's your mother, Mabel. She smiles as she pulls you out of an old dress-up chest full of old training weapons, wooden swords, bows and dull arrows that your parents used when they used to adventure and kind of train with each other. You like checking out Mommy and Daddy's old stuff, huh? And she kind of walks you away. You are about 6 years old, and you are in your living room. It is large and comfortable furniture, nice furs lining everything. Any humble person would think that it's a really fancy home, but the thing is, everyone who visits barely sees all the nice furniture, all the nice layout, because along the far wall, matching the length and the height of the wall, is a large trophy case. Big glass displays stretch across the top length of the wall. Underneath that, there's a shelf with about 8 items on little stands. And then under that is more glass displays of armor and shields your parents wore when they adventured.
Right.
It's just kind of holding different trinkets and maybe things that they've gotten from different dungeons and after defeating different people, just kind of little keepsakes and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your family. Were they well-known adventurers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? What kind of stuff would they do that you heard about?
Well... not a lot of big monsters, per se. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of huge evils. But they adventured from town to town. They really just wanted to help. Mm-hmm. So they traveled worldwide and helped wherever they could with whatever means they could. Mm-hmm. My father was Benjamin. Mm-hmm. Was a fighter class. Nice. And my mother was a paladin. Mm-hmm. And they worked as a team, and they didn't work with anybody else, except for the rare few occasions when there was something too big for them to handle. Mm. And they, basically just went from town to town, and they didn't ask for any money, but, if the town gave them something, they'd stash that away.
Cool.
And, that's how they got to where they are now with, the things that they have, and, I don't know how much... you want me to go into it, but they own a restaurant together.
Yeah.
Called The Wanderer.
Yeah, that would be right around this time. They are retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they waited till after they were retired to have kids.
Hmm.
And that's it.
Okay. So your mother kind of drags you away from this play chest, and she starts to tell you one of her stories from long ago about adventuring with your father and pointing out the different artifacts in the case when she's interrupted by a man walking out of the hallway, and he kind of says, "Ah, finally asleep." And Mabel turns around and smiles at your father, Benjamin, and says, "Took longer this time, but you, my little girl, refused to sleep." And Benjamin goes, "Boy can't sleep. There's too much to see. Kid's curious." And she goes, "Ben, can I actually see you in the kitchen? Garrel, you can look at one of these art books." And there's kind of a coffee table with a few different books that they leave out.
Okay.
They are in the kitchen, but you can kind of hear them talking about your interest in, you know, all the different artifacts, the adventure chests, and about your idea of adventure. And You, on the other hand, are sitting in front of this treasury of items. So, curious little child Garrel, what do you do?
Well, I'm told to look at the art books.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm old enough at this point that I'm not going to open cases.
Yeah.
Their trinkets. My studious nature would want me to delve further into something that I don't know already.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything around the room that maybe I haven't seen before?
Nothing that you haven't seen, but on the shelf on the trophy case, they do have some little things in stands. They're not locked up. They're okay. Kind of out. But there is one very ornate ball on a stand that you're kind of seeing differently at this point.
Okay.
It's, you know, you've seen it every day.
Okay.
You know you've walked in and you've looked at it. But there's something about it, kind of a, you feel a little compelled. It feels familiar somehow.
Okay.
And you have a very strong urge to pick this thing up.
Okay. Investigation check?
Okay.
I suppose. I don't know how these work when I'm so young, but...
No, that's fine.
15 plus... Oh, investigation is under intelligence plus 5. We're at 20.
Okay, you're at 20? Okay, so 6-year-old you with a 20 is looking at that going... That's really cool. And okay. You're feeling very enticed.
Okay. Would I have... I think maybe I'd just go over and pick it up.
Okay. You pick it up, and the stand falls over as you pick it up, which alerts your parents. Your father looks over and says in a voice that sounds really far away to you, but is not...
Okay.
He says, yep, there he goes again. Luckily, that thing doesn't do anything, but imagine if he was out there. His mind thirsts for knowledge. It could be reckless. And you are not necessarily paying attention to that, because you have both of your hands on this ball. And
okay.
Without thinking, you kind of turn the ball and look at it, and you are starting to get this imagery of this journey that this ball has gone through.
Okay.
And you are kind of looking into its past, and you're kind of seeing these very faint kind of blurry images of some figure that you can't quite make out over a stone pit with a fire in it, and they're kind of molding it and shaping it. And it looks like it's actually in multiple pieces. And you see it now on a table being assembled with different slides and locks and turns.
Okay.
And you see it close up around something. You can't see what's inside of it, but you see it get passed over to someone else, and they take it and they bow. And a lot of this is kind of fuzzy. And you see... you hear the sounds of battle, and you see this thing fall, and you see a hand pick it up, and then you see it at a trade post, and you see someone else pick it up. So there's this long, intricate story that you're seeing all these things happen, and eventually you can kind of see and get it picked up once again from a raid from down inside of a dungeon. And as you do this, you kind of figure it out, and you tap a couple fingers on the ball, and there's symbols and carvings on this ball, and they all light up.
Okay.
And at this point, you just start spinning. And you are spinning this ball around, twisting it around, as pieces are kind of starting to pop off and rotate and turn. And the top comes up and shifts off. And in the center of this ball is a crystal, cut like a diamond, gold, with a little hole through the top.
Okay.
At this point, you kind of look up from this thing, and your parents are sitting right in front of you.
Okay.
And they're kind of staring right into your face, and, and your dad goes, Garrel, how did you, we've literally had this for 23 years. He's like, we didn't know it did this, and Mabel goes, honey, I need to see that, please. It could be dangerous. And she just kind of pulls it from your grasp, but you're still kind of wanting to check this thing out.
Okay.
She pulls it from you. You being six, having something shiny taken away that you're really into, what would generally happen in that situation?
Right, I want to take it back, I assume. But
yeah. You're feeling a little out of self right now.
Right. So maybe can I don't know if I have the knowledge to explain what I've seen and let them know how that I opened it up.
Mm-hmm. Not at this point. Right. Okay. Now your emotions are feeling a little bit okay. strong towards this thing.
Okay.
And I feel like maybe you try explaining, like, no, something weird was going on, but you can't quite put okay. the words together, and you're starting to get frustrated.
Okay.
And at that point, you kind of feel this frustration kind of take over as you are trying to get this thing back, and they're kind of keeping it from you, and they're like, no, right. you don't understand, and you wind up picking up your art book on the table, and you throw it. And you throw this book, and as soon as it leaves your hand, this thing bursts into a ball of flame and goes shooting across the room. Luckily, your parents haven't been retired too long, so they're still very nimble,
sure.
and they kind of dove out of the way, but you did blast a pretty big hole in the wall. And through that hole, you can kind of see their beachfront property leading out to the ocean,
sure.
a little garden outside. But your parents are both kind of staring at you in shock. And your dad turns to you and he says, "You're a wizard, Gary." I mean, Garrel.
Wizard, what do you mean, Dad?
And he's just like, I've seen stuff like that before, but it usually has something to do with magic. And they are in shock. Now, okay. the thing about this that just happened, this memory, this is very important.
Okay.
Because you do not have it. Not entirely.
Really?
You have parts. There are parts that are fuzzy. You can remember it in bullet points. At your age now, where the story is kind of starting to take place.
Sure.
But you remember it in, like, you found a ball. You thought it was cool. Your parents took it away, and you got angry. The little details about going through the story of where it came from, being able to twist those symbols and things around.
Okay.
The crystal inside, all that just seems to kind of be blurred into the mix of this memory.
Okay.
Now, this is a memory that you find your mind wander to from time to time.
Sure.
Because it just always catches your memory, and it helps kind of relieve stress, which today is very stressful. Because the last thing you want to do is think about your first day at Hagwarts.
Right.
Yep. So how old are you?
When I go to Hagwarts?
Yeah.
I think when we discussed it before, I said 13.
Mm-hmm.
And that would give me 6 years at Hagwarts before I head off to adventure
yeah.
in the current arc. So that's what I would say. 12 or 13, I think, is appropriate. My parents finding out that I have some abilities. Obviously, I'm even past then, and before I go to Hagwarts, I will be studying and experimenting and trying to do things on my own.
Yeah.
And I think that they feel that this is the best way to hone those skills.
Go ahead and roll a d20.
Keep myself safe. Nat 20.
Nat 20? Okay. So, while studying on your own, you're actually getting pretty good control over this stuff.
Okay.
You definitely have a knack for magics and its workings.
I love that happened, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So, you arrive at the castle. The person leading the caravan approaches the shield bubble and says, "I'm the walrus. Coo-coo-ca-choo." And it opens up, and everyone kind of piles out as you are all led into a main courtyard within the walls of Hagwarts.
Okay.
In this courtyard, you see, like, archery dummies and little hand-to-hand ring kind of over in the corner, and then there's different parts of the castle and smaller buildings which look like classrooms taking place within there.
Okay.
And, of course, you have the main castle of Hagwarts, where there's a large door that you are led through. It leads you kind of into an opening. And towards the back, there's another door that leads into a great hall. And you go into this great hall, and as you're walking through the door, everyone's handed a card. And as soon as you grab the card, it changes the color. And okay. yours turns blue.
Okay.
So you kind of are shuffled away into a group of children who also have blue cards. And they're kind of setting them up in different rooms. you are taken into a room, obviously with the other kids of that color. And a teacher is standing at the front. And he opens up through this crystal ball. It's a crystal ball that's being like projected up okay. onto the stone wall. And it's showing a history of Hagwarts in a presentation style.
Right.
And the teacher is standing up there and he goes, "Hello. I am Elder Fogg. I teach illusion, which we will decide where your main course of magic will be after this seminar. The history of Hagwarts." And he goes, "Hagwarts was founded by Malbus Smarteldor. Many centuries ago, Smarteldor was a renowned adventurer. He worked alone mostly, but rumors say that at the end of his time in the field, he teamed up with four others. Genius wizards, all of them. They wanted to find life's biggest secrets. Smarteldor has since turned down those rumors and said it never happened. And, of course, there's no evidence to suggest it did, or why they split up. A few books you may have read in preparation may have different theories and dark cover-ups, but I assure you, it's all just a fun fable." And through your knowledge of reading different books, depending on what you're reading,
sure.
some people say that he got together with this group of people and they locked themselves into a room for 40 years and they studied the essence of magic in the history of the world and trying to find out the secret to life in the afterlife. And there's other ones that rumor that he met up with these people and like they studied the dark arts and they were the cause behind some of these major things. He's behind all these different conspiracies of these terrible things that have happened, but a lot of people have basically debunked those. So just some whack jobs believe that stuff generally.
Sure.
But in Smarteldor's official biography, none of that ever happened. He studied in magic. He began to know so much of it that he was given an opportunity to teach for the gift of immortality, as long as he was no longer violent towards people.
Okay.
So it's just kind of one of those weird footnote things. he then says, "Smarteldor wanted to share his knowledge, pass it on to the next generation, and generation after another. So he started Hagwarts, an all-inclusive magic college that covers hand-to-hand, potions, spells, a one-of-a-kind school. He signed off on multiple schools across the land, but none with as much depth of knowledge. He has devoted his life, and during this, go ahead and roll a perception check.
Eleven.
Okay, you see someone kind of peeking in through a door, and you can kind of hear them whispering, "Carol! Carol Embersole! Carol Embersole!"
Okay, I lean back and, "What?"
Oh, and they go, "Oh, okay." And they kind of walk over and they go, "Smarteldor requested your audience." And,
Oh, of course.
Yeah. And so as you get up to leave, you can faintly hear the teacher say as you're leaving the door, "Don't take offense. Smarteldor has trouble being close to people emotionally, so if he leaves early mid-conversation, it's just his way."
That's great.
So you are led down a variety of hallways, and you end at a large door that says Smarteldor.
Right.
You walk in, and this old bearded wizard is leaning back in his chair, hand on his beard, and he's spinning a copper, metallic, clockwork-looking circle that he seems really interested in as he's stroking his beard. And then he kind of looks up and double-takes as he sees you and says, "Oh, my apologies, I was lost in thought, Mr. Embersole." And he goes, "Please, come in." And he puts the circle back into his top right desk drawer, closes it, and kind of... You can see a motion that he locked it.
Sure.
he kind of gets up and like kind of pulls a seat out for you and sits you down. He's like,
thank you.
And he's like, "Oh, thank you, please, for coming in and speaking to me." So Geralt, I asked for you specifically.
Well, why did you do that, sir?
And he goes, well, how is your family?
They're doing well, as far as I know. I just left them.
Yeah. He talks about how, oh, that's good to know. You know, I actually know your mother and father. They've actually come and seen me a couple times, based on different things that they've found during their adventures, and I've kind of checked them out for them.
I've heard a few stories, yeah.
Yeah, you know, it was nothing super big. I've seen them from time to time. Now, what we are going to do, Geralt, is I am going to, this may sound weird, I'm going to tap into your thoughts, and we are both going to go slowly and calmly through some of your memories. I'm doing this to see how you became you. I'm trying to find your character, read your potential in a way. Then we can take a little bit deeper inner reading, get to the core of you. And by doing this, we'll know what class to train you in, which school of magic would fit you best, and the best way to teach you, because no student learns the same way. So we can try to customize this as much as possible. And the reason I wanted to work with you was I wanted to make sure that we got you right away as a favor to your parents.
Okay, insight check.
Yeah.
That insight is 15 for insight. I want to see if he's telling the truth.
You determine he is telling the truth.
With that roll, or because... Okay. I guess I won't know.
No, the detail.
I feel like he's,
Where's your mind space right now?
Yeah.
How are you feeling, girl?
Well, here's the thing. Like, Smart Eldor is helping us out now, but mm-hmm. at this point, because of the backstory and that orb and things of that nature, and then you telling me that I'm losing that memory, I'm wondering if that may be something important that he's trying to block a memory of. He's all-powerful, as far as I know.
Mm.
He's well-versed in magics, and he probably already knows the school of magic that I'm going to go into. So why does he want to delve into my mind?
Interesting. Continuing on in the story...
Well, then I protest to Smart Eldor. Why?
I protest. Okay.
Why would you like to delve into my mind? I say all the things that I just said to you. You clearly have an insight into blah, blah, blah.
And he says, honestly, all the teachers do it with every student. And he's like, and I've, you know, kind of having some sort of personal relationship with your parents as a favor to them when they first had you apply. I wanted to make sure that we got it right. And we didn't put you somewhere where you probably shouldn't be. Like, I don't want you training to become some sort of an archer if you're going to be awesome as a warlock, which hopefully, you know, that's kind of a darker path, so hopefully we can steer you away from there, but we'll do our best. I just want as little room for error as possible.
I have decided, sir.
Oh, well, where are you thinking that you'll land?
I'd like to be a wizard.
You'd like to be a wizard? Okay. Well, I will keep that in mind as we kind of take a look and try to figure out your best way of learning.
Okay.
Sound good?
Yes.
Okay. It's not super invasive. You're going to be with me all the time. You're not going to black out or anything like that. And we're just going to discuss. It's like, it's not a big deal.
Okay.
Okay. He kind of rolls up his sleeves and, he goes, you know, you want to be a wizard. He's like, that's fantastic. Obviously, you have a history with magic. You know, if you are a cleric type, he's like, the school down south has a specialty with clerics. I usually send kids that want to be clerics or reads best down there for them to train because they got a little bit better program while we cover more broad. Let's hope that's not the case.
Sure.
He says and kind of winks at you.
I wink back.
So, tell me a little bit about your upbringing and family life. If he's kind of looking at going through the past and kind of seeing, judging your character, like, what was life like at home?
I'd say I had a good life. Yeah. My parents owned the restaurant. They worked there most every day. They had a few employees, but I worked there as well. And in my spare time, I spent a lot of time by the sea, studying, learning, reading, practicing. Mm. I really didn't have a lot of friends. Books were my friends.
Yeah.
The only goal in my life was to learn. I was always curious and wanted to help out in the best way I could. I think that, I mean, that's not all-encompassing, but that's a short version of a backstory.
Yeah.
For Garrel.
Yeah. And he's kind of looking and goes, interesting. And he says, oh, I see one incident. It's a little hazy for you.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yeah, and I assume he kind of sees your memory and your version of kind of everything that happens. And he says, has there ever been a clear image? Does it ever waver?
No, it's always blurry and always vague and always the same.
And he goes, okay then. And he says, now I'm going to dig a little bit deeper and we're going to kind of see basically your makeup, your potential, like how your knowledge of the arcana has kind of affected your body and how that's all kind of working for you.
Okay.
Okay. And you're both kind of digging in, and he stops and gets a real serious look on his face, and he kind of jumps and jerks back, and his look kind of softens into a smile, and he says, that happens from time to time, a little kickback. Maybe we will put a hold on that part of it and try it again a little later. How's that sound?
Yes, sir.
He's like, it happens from time to time. He grabs some parchment and he goes, I'm putting down that you would make a fine wizard, Garrel. He's like, you have an intelligent mind, like me. and he says, I suggest you follow evocation as a wizard with your curiosity. You will be able to study everything. But from that fireball you threw as a child and being a fire genocide, well, that all makes sense. I'm going to say for right now, no combat training. I'd like to see you focus on knowledge, using that information with words, not action. Just for now. We will see how things go. Thala, my assistant, is outside, so go ahead and show her this, and she will point you in the right direction. Now, don't say anything to the other students. I personally want to ensure that you were placed correctly, so no need to start talks of favorites.
Sure. Absolutely. I understand.
And he goes, thank you. Thank you so much. So, Thala's out there. Did you get a good look at the school and everything?
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, cool. And he's like, all right, go ahead and head out.
Okay. I perception check on the room. 19 plus 5. Is there anything I should see before I leave the room?
There's lots of little trinkets and all sorts of little knickknacks and things like that. Lots of different artifacts.
I guess does anything stand out to me? I guess that's the... Because then I'd like to turn to Smartledore. If there was something that stood out to me, I'd like to turn to him and ask him about it before I left.
There's... The one thing that looks out of place is probably a big watering can and a book of how to care for plants.
Hmm. Okay. I don't think that's that interesting to my character. I wouldn't ask him about that. That's a general, everyday sort of a thing.
Yeah. This is out of all the books.
Before I walk out of the room, I would like to turn to Smartledore and say, sir,
yeah.
when I walked into the room, you were studying, mulling over something in your hand. What was it? Is there anything I can help with?
He laughs and goes, that's that curiosity we were talking about. He's like, it's really of no use. It's just a little piece I've been pondering.
Hmm. Well, if you need help, or research help, or anything, you can always let me know.
Okay, and he goes, I'll keep that in mind, Garrel. Thank you.
All right, well, have a good day.
You too. Okay, Garrel, we're going to fast forward a little bit into some of your classes, and we're just going to kind of cover some of the school years and kind of what you're picking up during your time at Hagwarts. So class is in session. So how this is going to play is I'm going to have you roll a d20 for each of these class subjects we're going to talk about. There's going to be a few that are basically gimmies based on your backstory and your character and how you've kind of grown.
Okay.
Your rolls are based on this. A 1 through 5 is not great.
Okay.
A 6 through 10 is passable. 11 through 15 is good. And a 15 through 20 is great. And we're just doing solid rolls, no modifiers.
Okay.
So, your first class is Alchemy.
Alchemy.
And your teacher is Elder Root.
Elder Root.
Yep. And she kind of starts off your first class with her, and she says, "Knowing how to use the resources around you for your benefit can help you when you're out adventuring or give medical assistance or if you're poisoned by a snake bite."
Sure.
So, Garrow, go ahead and roll me a d20.
11.
11. Oh, I should have marked.
Mid.
Okay, so that's passable. So you're going to have, there's not going to be much. You're going to add plus one to your constitution saves for poison.
Okay.
So you picked up quite a bit, kind of ways to kind of train your body to, we'll figure out how to like incorporate these stats so they make sense on your thing.
Got it.
Because there's going to be lots of random little things here and there.
Okay.
So you're going to have... You know what? We'll just give you advantage against poison. So we'll make that a... what is that? What is that called?
Trait.
Not a vulnerability. Well, I just said it when I was talking about dwarves.
Racial ability?
Yeah, what is that
That's,
word
I don't know
called?
What that is
What's
for...
the word? It'll come to me. Okay. So the next one... This teacher takes you aback a little bit. His name is Elder Fidget. He has no hands, and instead has two mage hands that take place of where his hands were.
Okay.
And this class is called Traps.
That makes sense.
And the thing he says is, "Listen, fucking traps are everywhere. There's probably some shit in this very room. My right leg is made of wood, and these mage hands are due to a mimic. Check for traps. Always." And he grabs a book off his desk and screams and throws it against the wall. And he's like, "Gah! Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was a trap. I'm really sorry. Oh, it's just so nerve-wracking." And he takes a drink of something, and he starts coughing up blood. And he's like, "It's a trap!" And he like grabs a potion thing and like kind of heals himself from it.
Oh, my God.
So it's a little bit of a crazy sight, that class. And probably inspires you to check for traps.
Sure. Yeah, I would think so.
So I really wanted to implant that one. Go ahead and roll a d20.
Okay. We're looking at 16.
16, you have advantage on trap checks.
Okay. That was great.
Okay, so this one I need to...
Oh, the fucking mage hands killed me.
Yeah. let me see here. Sorry, I need to find where I had this.
It's still funny.
Here we go. Okay. Their next class is Arcana.
Okay.
With a teacher who's kind of new named Elder Vol. And he says, "This is why you are here at Hogwarts. You will learn the ins and outs of spells and your capabilities as a practitioner of the arcane." Now, of course, being you, you're very, very interested in this, and you study like crazy, so you know this very well, so you're not going to have to roll, because you're getting a feat.
Okay.
Okay, and this feat is Elemental Adept. So, with this feat, you can choose different damages, but I'm choosing fire for you.
Okay.
Because it makes sense.
Sure.
Spells you cast ignore resistance to damage of the chosen type. So if someone's resistant to fire, doesn't matter. You're so damn good with fire and fire spells, it just doesn't matter.
Okay.
In addition, when you roll damage for a spell you cast that deals damage of that type, you can treat any one on a damage die as a 2. Now, as you level up and you're able to increase skill points, you can also choose feats.
Okay.
In exchange for skill points, and you can actually select this for every type of damage, so acid, cold, fire, lightning, or thunder, and you get the same effects, but for whatever that thing is. So okay. If you don't want to up your wisdom or intelligence or dexterity, and you want to take this feat and have these same benefits on another type of damage, you can.
Okay.
But right now, you got them on fire.
Nice. That is sick.
History.
That's really cool.
History with the teacher Elder Hoon. They say, time is repetitive. We can learn from our past, grow from it, and prepare for when it decides to repeat itself. Go ahead and roll a d20.
16.
16. So you now have a +2 to history checks.
Nice.
Okay, that's going to do it for all the rolling classes at this point, but there are some other things. There's varieties of other classes that you signed up for.
Okay.
And there are also extracurricular studies on theory discussion, myths and lore, and a bunch of different classes that aren't necessarily like skill-based, but just kind of information-based.
Okay.
And you have a no combat rule, so there's bonus classes of like physical education where they have you do kind of more athletic stuff, getting ready for adventuring, so you're kind of blackballed away from being able to do that. There's veterinary skills, which kind of handles helping and animal handling, and then damage types, weaknesses and strengths. There's mapping, and a lot of these things are kind of and veterinary skills, it also kind of goes through monsters and stuff you'd encounter in the wild. So you're kind of removed from those extracurriculars. I'm assuming if there were extracurricular activities, Geralt would sign up for them.
Of course.
Yeah. So some of the ones you do are myths and lore.
Myths and lore.
Which is where you got your book of lore.
Okay.
So all that information, it kind of came along with that class as a book all the students got. You also kind of took a more like experimental kind of out there theory class about cloning and evolutionary parallels. So it talks about the theory of creating magic copies of yourself or illusionary doubles, of necromancy, and, you know, kind of the idea of being out in the world, like, we're using magic to clone ourselves, but what if, like, we wind up being born with the same DNA as another person, like, and we're an exact match, how would the magic counteract each other? And, like, all of these, like, crazy theories, and, like, if you're cloning yourself using magic, how would you know you're you? Like, so...
So philosophy meets magic meets...
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of one of those classes kind of going into there.
Very theoretical magical physics.
Yeah, which you get some interesting theories, but,
Daryl would be in love with that class.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now, you have not taken classes of Hand-to-Hand or Adventure 101, which are two of the big classes that a lot of students strive for. What would you say Daryl's study life is like in interaction with students?
I would say, unless there's a homework assignment that required two students to work together, that he is generally by himself. He may make a friend or two, but his life would be his nose in the book. Mm. You know, at any hours of the day, very, very little sleep, as much as he needs to function, but he feels that sleep is unnecessary.
Yeah.
It's just a waste of his time.
No, that makes sense. All right, cool. So that kind of spells out your first few years at Hagwarts, just kind of more of the same. I mean, kind of studying every now and then. Smarteldor comes by and goes, oh, you know, next year we'll check on that combat training, which basically he said every year now.
Okay.
But we're going to fast forward to where you just turned 19.
Okay.
Starting a new year at Hagwarts. And it is a open house and parents are invited. Smarteldor is walking around greeting students and parents in the main hall, laughing and joking around, and Thala appears and asks you and your parents, who are kind of over having punch, talking to some other teachers and all that, probably some of your favorite teachers, kind of showing them off, seems like something you'd do. And he asks you and your parents to come to Smartledore's office because he wants to speak to you guys in private.
Okay.
As you approach, Thala says, Geralt, why don't you hang out with me? Because I just got some early versions of new textbooks.
Really?
Yeah. So why don't we check those out?
I mean, yes.
Yeah. And Smartledore comes out and invites Benjamin and Mabel into his office. And he smiles at you and says, we'll be just a minute. So Thala is kind of going over like the new textbooks with you. And mm-hmm. about 5 minutes later, they invite you in. Smartledore invites you in. And he's walking back to his desk as you're walking in. And you overhear them chatting like, oh, the place looks great. Oh, still so charming. Mm-hmm. And they're just kind of doing small talk. And Smartledore is like, thank you. Yes, we are looking to expand as well. You know, better crafting rooms, a training area, maybe a music class. Geralt, we were talking about how well you were doing.
Really?
Yes.
Well, thank you, sir.
Oh, and he's like, you know, you're at an age now where we feel comfortable throwing you into Adventuring 101.
Really?
But survival only.
Well, if you feel that's best.
He's like, yeah, no doubt as a scholar you will need to travel from place to place, and we don't want you lost. No physical training, though, because in your line of work that you may go down just may not be necessary.
Hmm. Okay.
And he kind of looks at you and he's like, you seem kind of upset.
Well, I mean, you have been delaying this every year that I've been here.
Hmm.
And you don't feel it's time now?
And he kind of goes, we and your parents kind of look at each other and they go, it's time. And stuff, and Smartledore kind of goes, okay. And he goes, Geralt, I'd like you to sit in front of me.
Okay.
Okay, and I he sit. Kind of
Do I have to roll to sit, or?
We'll see how good you sit. Go ahead and...
I just haven't rolled in a while.
Yeah.
16.
Like I said, this is talking heavy. Okay, so you sit just a couple inches off of the chair. You're like floating there. You're sitting so good.
what a waste.
He puts a hand on your head, and you know that blurry memory?
Oh, yeah.
Back.
Really?
You have all of the details. And there's also a part that had been missing this whole time that I didn't speak about, where your parents packed you up in a carriage, drove you to Hogwarts, and explained the situation to Smartledore. And he kind of talked to you, and then kind of placed a hand on your head, and you went to sleep and lost those memories.
Okay.
And he kind of explains, you have proven yourself this far, but we just haven't known what to expect from you. Hmm. He's like, we knew that putting you into the school could be dangerous for you with what happened with this object. And he's like, so we had to play it cautious. And that's why I wanted to make sure that you got put into the right place, because I wanted to get a really good reading on you as a person and make sure that whatever happened with that ball did not corrupt you.
Hmm. I understand, but you know me.
Yeah.
My parents know me. I feel as though I'm trustworthy and true of heart.
Yeah, and he says, and I believe that you are trustworthy too, but what I don't trust are weird balls with gold jewels in them.
He's like, I get that.
And he's like, please don't think ill of me or your parents. We just wanted to be cautious. This is a memory that we would have brought back to you, but we just would have turned you down from studying at Hogwarts. We probably would have tried to mold you in another way doing something.
I suppose it's good it worked out this way then.
Yeah. And he goes, how about we start out by putting you in some counter magic classes?
I think that's...
So ways of defending yourself against magical attacks and...
I've studied all those.
Yeah, and he's like, well, now you get to put them into action.
Good.
Now, you guys kind of chat for a little bit, and Smartledore apologizes again, and,
We're friends. At this point, I think that... we've seen each other enough. I've been around. He's obviously, I mean, he invited me to his office on the very first day. I imagine that's not the only time I've gone and visited Smarteldor outside of classes and things of that nature.
One thing from your history that you know of interacting with him is that now it kind of makes sense that he is paying a little bit more attention to you,
mm-hmm.
but he is shocked by your potential, and he believes that you are capable of great things, but he's playing it cautious.
Sure.
Because throughout his time, he's seen many great people do many terrible things.
Right.
So he's just wanting to make sure he's approaching this with a sense of caution and putting you correctly out into the world to experience these things. It's just been a little bit slower.
I kind of think of Geralt as like almost a Vulcan type character.
Yeah.
You know, where things have to be logical. And so he's grown to trust Smarteldor, so if he did those things, then he did them for a reason. That's why I didn't have a beef with that. I didn't try to... I may not trust some things, but I understand that they're there for a reason. And I'll do everything in my power to figure it out.
Yeah.
But I may not go against it if I'm trusting those people, especially my parents and Smarteldor, who they trust.
Yeah. So you guys talk. He kind of shoos you out. And you start walking your parents back to where their carriage is so they could kind of ride back home. And as you're walking... Mabel says, we're so proud of you, son. And your dad goes, I knew you would crush it here. And they kind of explain that they were advised not to bring up the memory manipulation because they weren't sure how you would go with it, and Smarteldor really wanted to be the one to kind of move you along into it.
Okay.
But they tell you that they wanted to tell you every day because it's a memory that stuck with you.
Sure.
Well,
then I'll hug them goodbye.
Yep, you hug them goodbye. And as you're walking down this cobblestone walkway with grass on either side, you hear a pop, and Mabel's gone.
Okay. No, I don't do that. Yeah, Arcana check?
Arcana check?
Yes, that's 12.
12. Okay. You can tell that your mom got... transported.
Oh, no, it's not. It's 14.
14?
Yeah.
Okay, you can tell that your mom got transported.
Okay.
And you and your dad are sitting there, and your dad goes, what in the hell? And he kind of starts to move towards the spot, and pop, he's gone.
Okay. I run straight back into Hagwarts to Smarteldor.
You start running back down the cobblestone path, and pop, you're gone.
Okay.
The cobblestone path was booby-trapped. Traps.
You fucker.
Inside
the shield of Hagwarts?
Yeah.
Wow.
I
just didn't think that was even conceivable at this point.
You'll find out. There's another pop, and you are lying face down on a cement floor, kind of in what looks like an abandoned room, and it looks like it's within the castle somewhere.
Okay.
You look up and you see your mom and your dad in cages off to the side of this large hallway that you're kind of in. And at the other end of the hallway...
Where am I?
You're at one end, kind of looking. It's a long way down, probably like 150 feet down this hallway. Okay. And it's about 80 feet wide.
Okay.
And there's so it's two like a cages long, narrow toward hallway. The end. Yeah. Except there's like there's a few columns and pillars.
Okay.
And there's a big like crest symbol up at the top down at the end. And at the end by the wall, adjacent to the cages, there's a black robed figure.
What's my range on this? Nope, but I can't do that. Stealth? I roll for stealth.
You're in the wide open.
I'm in the wide open. Well, I was thinking about ducking behind one of those pillars. I didn't know if he'd already seen me.
He's turned around, 15, but he can kind of get the idea. 15? Okay, that's not really going to do anything.
No, that's fine. I was trying to do something.
No, that's fair.
I think
maybe as
I think
like,
I'll still duck behind that pillar.
Okay, as you start to move, you can hear this person say, Geralt Embersole, son of Benjamin and Mabel.
Hmm.
And he turns around, and you can see kind of a half-elf face holding onto a large staff.
Okay. Well, I've ducked behind that pillar, and I peek my head out, and I say, "What is it that you seek?"
And he goes, "I am Sodal Vestir. It is a pleasure to meet you." And he goes, "I am also a son of Willen and Mercia Vestir. You don't know them, but," and he points, and he goes, "your parents do." And your parents kind of look at each other confused.
I move up my distance to behind the opposite, so zigzag pattern, to the opposite column. I have a 30-foot movement.
Yep. That's fine. You reach the other column. We're not really tracking movement too much right now. Okay. This is still just kind of talking. And he goes, 30 years ago, and he looks at your parents, and he goes, "You killed my family. You raided our home. I hid and watched you slay them, preventing them from pursuing their craft. I've spent this time training, studying, to get my revenge. And I have no beef with you, Geralt. But knowing that you would be here, and that they were letting in parents and multiple people, I simply had to blend in with the crowd." He's like, "And I set this up to where you would then join me in kind of a banded place where we can talk about this."
Now, he was talking to my parents, or
me? He's talking to your parents, and then he was like, "I have no beef with you, Geralt," and he turned to you.
Okay.
And started saying the rest of this.
Dang it, because I was gonna roll stealth again. I figured that he was turned around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of turning. He has a pretty good idea of where you are.
Okay. And then I move up again.
Okay. And he's just kind of watching you, and he says, "You will not witness me kill your family, Geralt. I'm not going to put you through what I went through." He's like, "But your family will witness me kill you." And Ben shouts, "No!" And Mabel yells, "Go, run!"
I cast True Strike on the... No, I'm not in range, am I? I move up 30 more feet, and I cast True Strike on the robed figure.
Okay, go ahead and roll a d10 for me.
Oh. That is this one. That's a 2.
A 2? Okay. I'm going to say, with you using these in practical standards in a thing of combat, that this spell doesn't work. You're going to keep your spell slot.
Okay. It's a cantrip. That's why I cast it.
Okay.
Okay.
But we're going to say that this one fails at this point in time, just because you're first trying out some of this stuff. So there's going to be some interesting things that happen in this fight.
Okay.
But do roll a perception check, so a d20.
Oh, gosh. That's only a 9.
Okay. So you hear a faint, like,
okay, do I know where it's coming from?
It's off to the side by one of the walls to the right.
Towards the front or towards my back?
Kind of in between you and Sodal. I'd say you look and there's nothing there. You can't make out anything. It was just a weird noise.
Okay. I cast Produce Flame at that, wherever it was.
The noise?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you just kind of launch it over there?
Yep.
Okay, it goes just kind of...
Doesn't do anything?
It doesn't do anything.
Okay.
All right, so he looks at you and he says, "You are untrained in combat, Geralt. This will be all too easy. Now we roll initiative."
Okay. Nat 20.
Whew! You and your wife... Initiative rolls are just crazy. Okay, time for some wizard fighting.
Okay.
Okay, you are first in the order.
Okay. I cast Ray of Frost, 60-foot range. Make a ranged spell attack against the target. On a hit, it takes 1d8 cold damage, and its speed is reduced by 10 feet until the start of its next turn.
Okay.
Let me just look at my spell casting. That is a 12 to hit.
Miss.
Okay. And nothing happens on a miss, so.
Okay.
Yep.
So it kind of flies by. We'll say that's your new wizard battling legs.
Yeah, my spell attack bonus sucks right now.
Is going to go. And he's going to... Okay. He's going to cast Firebolt.
Okay.
Make a ranged spell attack against the target. On a hit, the target takes 1d10 fire damage. A flammable object hit by the spell ignites.
Mm-hmm.
Blah, 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 blah.
I've got it right in front of me. Yep.
That's going to hit. Okay. And then 1d10. Ooh, and a 9.
Dang. That's half my health right there.
All right, so you're bloody.
Enough to... Oh, okay. Damaging.
Getting close, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It's half my health. I have 7 left.
Okay. So, he just went... you get 5 points of health back.
Okay.
Okay, so, your turn.
Okay, do I have any... How does a free action work if I wanted to do an investigation on the cage? Before I cast a spell?
Generally, in combat...
that would count as a turn, right?
That would count as
okay.
a turn.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't investigate because I felt like I wasn't close enough to investigate.
You can get a sense that they are locked through magic.
Okay. This round, I will cast Shield on myself.
Okay.
For a +5 bonus to AC, and that's it. That's all I do. And okay. I'm going to duck behind cover, which is one of those poles.
Yeah.
You will have disadvantage on your ranged attack.
Can do. Okay, he is going to cast...
That's how cover works, right?
I believe so. You're fine. Yeah, because you're in full cover, they're full enough, it's going to be disadvantage unless he moves... out of the way.
How far would you say I'm away now? I moved 90 feet. In total, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And you said you're 150 if I was at the back of the hallway, so I've got 60 left?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Sodal casts Greater Invisibility.
Okay.
And he turns invisible.
Alright.
He pops back into view and goes, "What?"
Okay. Good. I am going to... I only have 2 spell slots. So I'm trying to be smart about this. Mm-hmm. Whereas in my higher levels, I have a lot more spell slots.
Yeah.
And cantrips that I can use. So I can see... I'm going to cast True Strike again.
Okay.
And extend your hand and point a finger. Get inside into the target defenses.
Okay.
And I gain advantage on my next attack.
All right. AC 13.
Okay. And that is not a bonus action. That is 1 action. So your turn.
Okay. You're still behind the pillar?
I am.
So how would magic missile work?
Go ahead and cast it.
Okay. He's casting Magic Missile.
Yep.
Okay, so it just works. Okay.
Yep.
So, 4, 5, 11 damage.
Yeah, except for it doesn't hit at all because Shield Magic Missile automatically misses.
What? Oh, snap! He gets real pissed. He's like, no! All right, nice.
And,
you kind of hear it, yeah.
Maybe from Dad? No, not from... Okay, never mind. I cast Ray of Sickness.
Oh, shit, okay.
I'm going to have advantage on this roll, but I don't need it, because that's a 17 plus 5.
Yeah.
He's going to take 2d8 poison damage. That is 7.
7? Okay. Keep rolling.
Okay. 3 and 6 is 9, plus 7 is 15.
Roll it again.
And plus 3 is 18.
One more time.
5 is 23.
Okay. And then he goes, what in the hell? Because when you cast this thing, it is massive.
Okay. That's awesome. And he also needs to make a constitution saving throw. Thank you.
15, but he's going to fail it. With the power of this spell. The way
okay. All right. I'm not going to question it. And that is the end of my turn. I will move to the next pillar and zigzag. Okay. My full 30-foot movement. I am now 60 feet. No, 30 feet away.
Okay. He is going to cast Ice Storm.
Okay.
With your direction, a hail of rock-hard ice pounds the ground in a 20-foot radius, 40-foot-high cylinder centered on a point within range. Each character in the cylinder must make a dexterity saving throw.
17.
All right. You dodge out of the way.
Nice.
Now your parents are cheering.
I picked up the D12. That's why I rolled again, if you were wondering.
Yeah, I was like, there's two rolls there. All
right. I did not have advantage.
Perfect. And he is getting really frustrated at this point. He's like, what the fuck is happening?
Okay.
Okay, so now it is your turn.
Let's see. So that's worn off. Let's go for just a straight up firebolt.
Okay.
That's a 19 plus 5.
That'll hit.
And 1d10 fire damage.
It's that one next to the 12. Is that it?
Yep. And that's 5.
Okay. So you cast this firebolt.
Yep.
Towards him, and this firebolt comes out, and then from the firebolt, you actually see 3 darts of magic missile come out of this fireball. And also strike him from all sides. So actually roll damage for the magic missile as well.
Okay. Nice. 2, 4, and 3. That is 8 plus 3 is 11.
Okay. And then what was the firebolt damage?
I think it was 5. Yeah, it was 5.
Okay.
So 16 total. I can't do that as a bonus action, can I? No, I can't. I really want to cast Detect Magic and see what's going on, but I can't do that as a bonus action, so I'm gonna go with it. Whatever force is helping me, okay. I'm gonna go with it. That is the end of my turn.
Okay.
I did not move. I am behind cover.
He has dropped down to his knees. He is in very, 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 very rough shape.
Okay.
And he goes, how can this be? All my training. He's like, fine. Then everything crumbles, and he takes out a bag and pops out a silver orb that starts emitting a buzzing and humming sound.
Okay.
And he puts both of his hands on it, and he launches a fireball into it.
Okay.
It looks like this ball, just before he did it, kind of turned green. So he launches this fireball into here, and you are blown back. You only see a white light and instantly feel heat on your face, but as this heat is overwhelming and you can just start to see through this white light, you notice that everything has stopped. And what you are looking at is your parents being blasted back in their cages, frozen in space. You see the walls crumbling, and through the walls that are crumbling, you can see a larger part of the school where there are students sleeping in beds. There are other classrooms as Hogwarts is exploding. You see Sodal just getting blasted into ashes, basically, from this massive explosion that's emitting from this ball. And everything's stopped, and then everything starts coming back into place.
Okay.
And your parents are no longer launched back. They're now standing. And the fire is going back into this ball, and you are standing up watching this from the position you were before, and you see Sodal sit there with the orb, and as time kind of kicks back forward again, he says, then everything crumbles. And just as he says it, a blue shield wraps around him and the ball as he explodes it, and the shield from the inside is doused in flame. There's nothing that you can see inside of it. It's all been bubbled up. And once the fire and the smoke clears from inside of this shield, there's nothing there.
Okay.
And the shield disappears.
Nat 20 Arcana check. Can I figure out what kind of magic that is?
It was a protection spell. A protection spell that looks an awful lot like the one that is protecting Hagwards.
Okay.
And out from a corner, you see, from where you heard that sound,
right.
Smarteldor.
I kind of thought
so. And he's stroking his beard, and he's like, And he kind of looks at you, and he's like, well, I only had to heal you once.
Well, thank you for that, sir.
And he's like, no problem. He's like, I was very, very impressed with your combat. Obviously, I can't take any action for that, but I was simply healing and shielding. So, that seems like non-actionary magic to me.
I'd say that's true.
Yeah. And he's like, I am puzzled, because there were some things that I didn't do.
And that would be?
He's like, I didn't mess with your poison attack. I didn't mess with that fireball either. He's like, I think probably our best course of action is that we get you in some classes regarding control.
Well, whatever you think is best.
Yep. And he kind of explains to you that I sensed something was amiss, and, you know, I always know everything that happens in this school. And he's like, Geralt, I don't think you understand, but there were first years on the other side of that wall. That's who was sleeping in that other room. This is an adjacent room that we just don't really use anymore, except maybe for storage.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, so you literally saved the school and everyone inside of it. I don't know if you grasp the impact of that.
Well, I suppose I do now, but really, I was just trying to get my parents back.
Yeah. And he just says, you saved a lot of lives, and I can't share this with the school, you understand. The events that happened here, I cannot share. So now what I need you to do is just to relax, calm down, because it's over. Go to bed, and I will ensure your parents get home safely after I ask them about the Vestir family. So...
One more thing.
Yes.
You don't need to wipe my memory. I won't tell anyone.
And he goes, okay, I wasn't going to. I was just saying, this isn't something we should talk about. He's like, I trust you, Garrow. So you go a couple weeks, and Smarteldor has made adjustments to your schedule. Strictly combat magic.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about that now. He thinks you have the knowledge, and it's mostly about learning control specifically, and basics of hand-to-hand. Then one day at dinner, in the Great Hall with all the other students, you get pulled from the Grand Dining Room by Thala, and you go up to one of the many towers. You go to this door, and she kind of points for you to go through.
Alright. See you later, Thala.
You walk through, and there is an aisle lined by teachers and workers and staff at Hagwarts, and they all raise their wands above this walkway for you.
Okay.
And down this path that they are now making kind of a bridged area, you see your parents sitting in two chairs at the end of it, and Smarteldor standing at the end.
I'm loving all of this, by the way.
Oh, good. So I'm guessing you walk down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You walk down to the end, and everyone's smiling at you. They're very happy.
I'm smiling.
Now
and in the game.
You get to the end, and Smarteldor congratulates you on saving the school. This is kind of a private ceremony, and we wanted to make sure that you got acknowledged for it. And he gives you a brand new active wand of your very own to use during your training.
Okay.
Instead of one that the school provides, he bought you like a store actual...
Oh, really?
Like, legit wand.
That's cool. I say, sir, really, you didn't have to do this, but thank you.
And he looks at you and he goes, I did. And everyone cheers during the ceremony, and your parents are extremely proud. You join him in his office alone, and while he's sitting there, he's spinning this clockwork circle, looking at it, and he says, Geralt, you've come a long way, and I may have something you can help me with in the field.
Well, of course. see you've still got that piece.
Yeah, he's like, well, you know, it's kind of been on my mind. You have 2 weeks to prep for a 2-day trek west of Red Larch to meet with Voke Jareff. You'll know him because he has a beautiful pet unicorn outside of his home. And grab a letter that he has prepared for me.
Not a problem.
And he goes, now, you'll be curious, so I'm hoping you don't read it. And he goes, and go ahead and bring it back to me. It's just a spell that I am unfamiliar with, and I want to study. Will you be able to do that for me?
Well, yeah, of course.
Okay, so you prep and get ready for this 2-day trek, and you go and you meet Voke Jareff, who has a glorious unicorn. and then what happens after you receive this letter?
Well, as stated in the unrecorded session
mm-hmm.
Before we started this podcast, Geralt, I'm walking. I see no need to ride.
Mm-hmm.
I don't own a horse, so I'm walking. And I do take a look at the memory spell.
Oh.
And I try to cast it on... that's what this spell is a memory spell.
Yeah.
I learn that only when I open it. And I'm curious enough that I don't think it's a harmful spell, so I try to cast it on an animal. Something by the road, maybe a rabbit or a deer or a toad, whatever. Just to see if they maybe... I could make them forget who they were. Maybe the kind of animal they were or whatever, but the thing is it backfires and I forget who I am and why I have this letter and I also don't know where I'm going.
Okay, so you don't know where you're going, but you are somewhat close to the town of Red Larch, and you kind of wander into a bar, you meet a wood elf, you meet a half-orc, he threatens you. You lie and say your moms have the same name, just to kind of calm them down. And you journey together. You wind up back at Hagwarts.
I forgot about that.
You meet Smartledore. And he sees kind of what's going on, and he restores your memory and everything that you lost from this spell, which normally it's supposed to take out... He kind of teaches you how to use it in terms of taking out a year, but the spell is much stronger. So you read it in its native form,
okay,
which erased everything, which is like its maximum power,
the right.
spell. But when he restores your memory, there isn't a memory that's fuzzy. There is a memory that isn't there.
Ah, he took the...
He took the battle you had that saved Hagwarts.
Really?
So you don't know about the spells being
okay.
weird. You don't remember that. You don't really remember your first battle. All you know is that you were going to Hagwarts, and one morning you woke up, Smartledore said, hey, we're going to put you into combat training, and he gave you a wand. And so you've been training in combat and learning very, very heavily about control.
Okay.
But the memory regarding that battle and the anomalies that were in it are gone.
Wow.
And
my character would have no reason to even suspect anything because...
Yep. And what he did was he used this spell once he read it and learned it. He regained your spell but also was using it at the same time to cut those pieces out.
Okay.
Because the spell he used before was blurring details. And this spell is a lot more powerful and cuts.
That's fucking deep. You really had to think about that, didn't you?
Yep.
That's a deep cut from, like, episode whatever, one.
Yep.
Holy shit.
You have no inclination that something's missing. And now what we're going to do, I'm putting a button at the end of this story.
Okay.
And this isn't something that you would know. This isn't something that any of the characters would know. But this is something to kind of progress the story.
Okay.
Okay? Smartledore took that letter, folded it up, and sent you on your next adventure to learn in real-life situations. What he does after is he retreats to his office to study the spell. A spell that seems familiar to him, but not entirely. He wonders if that is for a reason, and debates the importance of what he doesn't know or doesn't remember. And he reaches into his drawer and takes out a copper clockwork ring and starts spinning it in his fingers.
Wow. Fucking mind blown. That was really good.
Thank you.
Holy shit.
And that's where we end.